Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Drive Guys, happy Halloween. It's been a scary stretch here, needless to say, for the 49ers, but they make the big move today, and they trade a conditional third-round pick to the Washington Commanders for Chase Young. Here are some numbers that suggest, oh, this is a great trade. Young has a career-high 17.2% pressure rate, and you also have Nick Bosa posting a very high pressure rate. So the 49ers now have two of the top five defensive players in quarterback pressures this season. Again, that's kind of like quarterback pressure. So, you know, it's not a sack, but that means that the pocket should be collapsing starting with the Jacksonville game, the way the 49ers expected to collapse the pocket all season long.
Why are we even in this point, though? Because this is not, here's the thing, Wade. Chase Young, a fantastic player, phenomenal player. I think he's a tremendous talent. But this team already had tremendous talent. And so you can add whoever you want. If they don't perform to their capabilities, it's not going to matter. And so I get it. The Niners' defensive line didn't get a pass rush, put pressure on the quarterback. But don't tell me that they couldn't do that. Don't tell me they didn't have the personnel to do that. And so you bring in Chase Young, sure, it's another guy. But Nick Bosa still has to be better. Hargrave still has to be better. And so to me, this was not about a talent issue. It was a lack of production issue. And so, yeah, you get deeper, you bring in more talent, and maybe Chase Young lights that fire. But if Nick Bosa doesn't start playing better, if some of these guys, it doesn't even matter. And so, and when Chase Young comes here, if he doesn't start playing better. And so it's not a talent issue. It's a production issue, I think, with this Niners team.
And then the question becomes then, how come the production hasn't been there? I mean, Hargrave and Bosa, right, they've both been paid. Is that a factor? Just the human element. I'm not accusing them of dogging it or anything. Bosa, again, has a lot of numbers that suggest he's been effective. But now you got a guy in Chase Young, who has something to prove because he's in the last year of his contract. So I like that. But you're right. This has been going on since last season where, oh, you know, they got to get to the quarterback. That's the foundation of our success, and we haven't had as much success as we expected to. So that's not all on Steve Wilks. It becomes a little bit of a mystery, and if this doesn't address it, as we said earlier, I don't know what else you can do.
Where else can you do, right? Where else can you turn?
There's no other cards to play.
Right. You done brought in tremendous talent. You got the weapons there, and it's still not happening. And everybody wants to point, oh, well, Steve Wilks. Steve Wilks does not, in my opinion, impact whether Nick Bosa gets up the field and gets after the quarterback or not. And so you could talk about schemes in the secondary and in the second level and all that. Okay, we can have that discussion. But from a front four standpoint, that's on the players.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the players. And so I can't wait. I wish they had a game this week, because you thought after the loss to the Vikings, not you personally, but, you know, in general, we thought the loss to the Vikings was rock bottom. Like, oh, they got to turn it around against the Bengals. And they still didn't do it. And so have they hit rock bottom now? You would hope so if you're a Niners fan.
Dante Whitner, the former 49er, who's one of your, well, he's like a colleague.
Yeah, he's
yours,
like
right?
Coworker. Yeah, kind of. I see him when I'm in the studio. Yeah.
He suggested, and this was before the trade for Chase Young, but he suggested it's time for the 49ers to hit the panic button. He didn't say, you might want to start thinking about it. He said, it is time to hit the panic button, because he says, offensively, they can't run the ball. Defensively, they're just barely even there. They're not getting pressure. They're not stopping the run. And those are absolute foundations of successful 49er football, and they haven't accomplished either one. So it is, I mean, that right now they've got some real big questions, pressing questions that have to be answered starting their next game.
Yeah, and what's interesting, you know, it's crazy to say that it's panic time when you're third in the NFL in point differential. But things were smooth sailing those first 5 weeks. Everything was going well. Now some doubt has creeped into that locker room, and they have not responded well to adversity. And so I do like what Dante said, because this team isn't just playing for the playoffs. It's playing for a Super Bowl, if you will. And so if your goal is the Super Bowl and anything less is unacceptable and you lose three in a row, It's time to, something got to change, right?
I agree.
Like, you
I
know,
agree.
Some heads got to roll or some changes need to be made. And so that's why Dante said, you know, it's time to hit the panic button. I agree with them. But does this do it, though? Is this the move that all of a sudden puts them over the hump? Is this the move that's going to get the offense back on track from scoring 17 or more points?
It's going to help with part of it. I think Trent Williams has to get healthy, and I think Debo has to get healthy. And I know, oh, wow, you're a genius. That's great. But I think that's the single biggest reason they haven't had success running the ball is because Trent Williams hasn't been there. So they got to get him healthy. They have to start. You know, when they run the ball 26 times or more, they win.
Right,
they don't.
Right.
They don't. And that's just because when they're playing 49er football and they have the lead, they can continue to pound the ball. And they just haven't been able to do that. And they're a different team when they have to play from behind. And it's not just Brock Purdy. And it's fair to say he has improved and come from behind. I think Shanahan's playbook, as thick as it is, there's like pages and plays for when they're behind. There's like three in the back.
Right,
you know,
in the back.
It. That's it.
Like in case if everything else fails and we actually are losing.
Yeah.
And it happens, Kyle Shanahan. Like, and so
they're a whole different team.
They are a whole different team. They can't come back. And maybe, like you said, it's because of the playbook. I do want to go back to what Dante said because I know he's hitting the panic button. But how much is the loss of Debo and, you know, Trent Williams the cause of this? And so I know we're hitting the panic button, all is going wrong, but do you think with those guys back, they'll just get back to rolling? Or even when those guys come back, are you a little worried?
I think if Trent Williams is back and he's healthy, then I think that's going to take care of a lot of it. But, you know, it's an ankle and he's a huge man and he's an older player. I don't know that we can assume that, oh, yeah, he's been out a few weeks.
Right.
He'll be ready to go. I do think he's expected to start practicing, so that's good news. But that goes a long ways towards solving this. Then you also have, it's not all Steve Wilkes' fault, but you know that they're not happy with him. So, yeah, okay, even if Chase Young comes in and all of a sudden the pass rush is improved, you still have problems in the back end with a coordinator that apparently – coaches and players are not thrilled with right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. There's multiple holes with this Niners squad right now. And so we could talk about Brock Purdy. We could talk about Trent Williams, the lack of a run game, the offense not producing, the defensive line, the secondary, Steve Wilkes. Like, there's so many different areas where blame can be laid. And so while the Chase Young move addresses the defensive line, maybe it helps your secondary as well. I still think there are a number of holes with this team, and they got three of their next four games are on the road.
Mm.
And they're against the road games, Jacksonville, Seattle, and Philly. That's a tough stretch. And then you throw in Tampa Bay at home right there. And so, you're digesting what I just told you.
It's no problem.
We got this, right?
No.
Right. I mean, I can make the argument that their season, these next 4 to 5 weeks, you know, once they get back out there, these next 4 or 5 games will determine.
They could.
They could go on the road in the playoffs and win. They could become a wild card team and win, but their road becomes that much more difficult. Think about it. The Lions play in a terrible division. Kirk Cousins is out, so now Minnesota.
No, right?
You don't like the truth. You can't handle the truth, Whitey. Niners fans cannot handle the truth right now.
Just that's too much truth on top of truth, and you keep piling on the truth.
All right, so let me give reason for optimism. How about that? Let me give you reason for optimism.
Can you hang on to that with us? Can we get a caller real quick?
Is this guy going to agree with what I said?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
I don't
know. Let's hear.
Yeah, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Joe joining us here, Sacktown Sports. Hey, Joe, you're on the Drive, guys. How are you?
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me on. And I can't believe I'm about to go ahead and agree with the East Coast guy.
No! Joe!
Tell me, Joe, what you got, baby?
I'm a diehard Niner fan, diehard, okay? So don't think that I'm anywhere on your side of the Eagles side or anything. But if you don't if you have the tools, all the tools, and you don't know how to use them, I'm nervous. Because what's the difference between last year and this year? We were dominant defense last year, and this year we're like mid to okay. And I'll tell you where I lost my enthusiasm for the defense. You can't allow the worst rushing team in Minnesota to rush on you. That should have been personal right there. So,
Joe, are you wearing an Eagles jersey right now? Be honest.
Oh, heck no.
No, Joe's the kind of Niners fan I like. He's objective. He's calling it like
he
sees it.
He's losing his faith in his team.
No, because this is everybody, Joe. No, everybody want to talk about Steve Wilkes and everything like that. Nick Bosa has to be better. Where's Javon Hargrave been all season long? His name hasn't been mentioned all freaking season long. The guy's got
to
step up.
He does.
You can bring in all the weapons you want. If they don't perform, it's sort of like, remember the Lakers when they went out there and got Karl Malone and Gary Payton?
I do.
It was a great team. The Rockets when they got Scottie Pippen and Charles Barkley. So what? You got all the pieces. If those guys don't perform, it won't matter, Joe.
Joe, are you close to the panic button? Do you think it's panic time as a 49er fan?
No, because if history has anything to do with it, anytime after the Niners had a bye weekend, they took off from there. So hopefully that's on our side.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate
great
the call.
Great call, Joe. That's a great call.
Don't lose
call.
Your faith. Hang in there, Joe. Things are looking up. Chase Young. Leading the Niners back.
Chase Young's the answer to everything. We need more calls like that. 916-339-1140. I could take those calls all day long.
Yes, we'll get to your calls also, Kyle, with some words of optimism, you promised?
Yeah, I got something for you.
When we come right back, it's a Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Well, this ought to be good. Kyle Draper promising some words of optimism. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We've got the hitman himself, Dante Whitner, on NBC Sports Bay Area saying, it's panic button time. That was before the trade for Chase Young. So some Niner fans, we're hearing from Niner fans who are maybe struggling a little bit with their faith. This is natural. It happens when your team's struggling. But Kyle Draper, who, make no mistake, delights in your misery. If you're a 49er fan, this man delights in your misery. And yet he says he has some words of optimism.
Do you really? First of all, I don't delight in anybody's misery. I just want Niners fans to wake up with a dose of reality. Like, they were already getting fitted for a Super Bowl ring 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hold on, pump the brakes. Let's see it all play out. But, you know, when I look at this Niners team, I do think Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. I do think Brock Purdy is actually a good quarterback. And the fact that Debo and Trent Williams, the injuries happened early, we fully expect them to be back, hopefully after the bye week. Like, there's no reason why this team should not return to what they were the first 5 weeks of the season. And so I think right now their confidence is shot a little bit. I think, you know, the loss of, you know, injuries have hurt them. I also think when you look at what the Niners have done the last three games, teams are really keen on CMC. And you're able to do that because you don't have Debo Samuel. Like, if you got Debo Samuel and you're, you know, putting five men on the line, I think Cincinnati was doing that a lot.
Yep,
they had five down linemen going again. Like, then that's single coverage everywhere else. And so I think, you know, with Debo coming back, there's no reason to be concerned that he won't be back, you know, sometime soon. And so there is reason for optimism. And I've said it before, Niners fans, and I'll say it when it comes to your squad as well. You don't win or lose the Super Bowl in October. Now, if this was late December and they're having these issues, January, something like that, I'd hit the panic button. But in terms of, you know, accomplishing your goals, it's still, you still got plenty of time to do that. Let's you know, it's just a rough stretch. You come back out, you beat Jacksonville, now you're 6-3, all is good.
I'm trying to see if he's going to
You see how hard that was for me? That was very difficult. Man.
Yeah, and I know what the hardest part was. Brock Purdy's a good quarterback.
No, he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a middle of the pack.
Your forehead started to break out in a sweat.
He is you know, Jared Goff-ish before this season. Goff has proven himself. He's a middle of the pack, 14, 15, 6, Kirk Cousins, you know, level quarterback.
We'll just move on. I'm sure we're going to revisit all that. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Zach joins us. Happy Halloween. Zach, you're on the Drive, guys. What's up?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Zach?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base on this. I mean, it's no, you know, Brock Purdy is no superhuman, okay? He is a good quarterback at best, okay? Now I'm a diehard 49er fan my whole life. We all knew what was going to happen if we lost a piece of the offensive line coming into the season. It's showing with Trent Williams going out. We know what would happen if we lose Debo. Everybody's going to key in on CMC. But the one thing that stands out to me is Steve Wilkes. You look at him on the sideline, they're showing the game. He's up in the booth. He looks like he's about to fall asleep. D'Amico Ryan and Robert.
Come on, Taylor, Zach.
Hey, Zach, I'm gonna let you go just because we're having a little bit of an issue with your phone. You made your point, and so I'm gonna let you go because there's a weird. It sounds like you're on the Golden Gate Bridge or something. Which
or as Russell said, Zach calling on his mobile toaster.
Yeah,
right. Now.
Exactly. So. Yeah, it's not because we didn't like what you said. It's just kind of.
I think he's hauling potatoes from Stockton to Fossilville. Like he's driving a big rig, man. That's not a regular car.
Good
driving.
For him. He made his point, and a lot of people agree with that. But Steve Wilkes looks like he's falling asleep up there.
Nah, but
well, no wonder they're not getting pressure on the quarterback.
I don't think. Do you think that makes a difference? I don't think moving Steve Wilkes down to the field makes a difference.
You know how much difference it makes?
How much?
None.
Exactly. Zero. We're like, oh, you're going to move down onto the field. D'Amico Ryans used to be on the field.
Robert Saleh was on there, and he used to get really excited.
But Steve Wilkes, this is how he does it. It's a great way to see all 22 as well. And so I don't think that makes a difference.
I do think, though, that there was a connection between Saleh and his defense and D'Amico and this defense that's not there with Wilkes.
Why do you think that is? Though?
Part of it is he was an outsider. He came from outside the organization. I think he's a little bit older.
Maybe he has to earn his, they have to, you know, it goes back. I hate to constantly make basketball references, but it goes like when Mike Brown comes into Sacramento. If they don't have that 7-game winning streak, maybe the players start to doubt what Mike is preaching. And so what we need to see from Steve Wilkes, what he needs right now is a good 3-4-game stretch where his game plan works, and then the players start buying in after that.
But if that's a problem, bringing in the outsider, well, he didn't hire himself. That's not his fault.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. It's not his fault. Yeah.
Yeah. Doug joins us here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, Doug. How are you?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. Happy Halloween.
What's up now?
At least you guys aren't falling asleep. Yeah.
What you got, Doug?
Mine is more in the strategy end of what's happened after the first five games. We played teams that were good teams, but our talent wise was that much better. And then those last three, even though a couple of them were close, we could have won. Teams are preparing for the Niners very well. And I think by coming in with that five guys on the line and say, you know what, we're going to test that young guy and see if he can throw the ball under pressure. Because they know if they've got five, he's not going to have a lot of time. Let's see what kind of mistakes that he makes. Also, he's a timing route guy. So he's throwing, they show him throwing the ball before the guy makes his cut. If you're off a little bit, it's a pick. So I think these other teams have prepared very well for the Niners, and the war strategy that I like to compare it to is in professional sports and is in football. It's like playing chess. You make a move, they counter your move. You counter their counter until somebody waves the white flag and the game's over. And I think that the teams have really figured out the Niners well, and then it comes down to you have to be more creative and be able to execute and come up with different. If you end up being predictable, you're going to get ran over. That's all I have. I love your show. Thank you,
Doug. I agree with you, especially the part about Purdy, because the way things are going now where they're not running the ball and teams are loading the box, knowing that it's not just that they're stopping McCaffrey. It's like you can't block for him anyway without Trent Williams. So his margin for error is shrinking. Purdy, and you know, he threw for a lot of yards last week, and I think against Minnesota, until he made those big mistakes, he was playing well. But it's like he's going to make mistakes because he can't walk that tightrope that he's walking right now for a whole. He's not good enough to do that, where he has to constantly come from behind and throw for 360 yards and then throw two fourth quarter touchdowns.
Right. It's different when you're playing from behind because more is on your shoulders. Yeah. Like, you know, when you have a lead, you're up 14-0. One bad throw kills you when, you know, you're trying to mount a comeback. But when you're up 10-0, when you're up 14-0, first of all, the whole playbook you can use. You know, you could do anything you want out there. When you're behind, you don't run as much like we've seen the last 3 weeks. CMC's not getting as many carries, and it's on your quarterback to make better throws and make clutch throws. When you're ahead, you know what? It's free. It's easy. You don't feel as much pressure.
As a playmaker, we're ahead. You're setting the terms.
Yes.
And then when you're behind, it's like, well, our options are very limited here.
Yes. And one thing I've seen over the last 3 weeks is the opposing defenses, they get stronger as the game goes on. Like, you can physically see, like, sort of their, you know, their belief, like, oh my gosh, we can win this game. And then they become hungrier. And then the defense starts pinning back its ears. They start teeing off on you. And so you can see that. And so that momentum is a real thing, I think, in these Niners games.
Let's go to Henry, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Henry, you're on the Drive, guys. What's up?
I hear you guys talking about what's the difference. I think Debo is the big difference. Jennings and Ray, where are they at? They're supposed to be packing up, come in, the next guy up. You don't see nothing out of Ray. You don't see nothing out of Jennings. So now you see that Debo is the big difference. Double coverage, everything's different. He can be a running back, slot receiver, or receiver. He can do everything for them. Ray and Jennings, they disappeared. So how's Purdy supposed to find another receiver? That's all he has. Ayuk, Kittle, and CMC.
Thank you, Henry. Yeah, appreciate the call. I feel like I talked to Henry the last time I ordered a shake at Jack in the Box.
Dude, what is going? Yeah. This is 2023.
Nothing Henry, but his dude. Phone called it.
he got the Apple One, you know, like the iPhone One or something. Like, what's going on with the cell
call,
reception around town nowadays?
Some,
my gosh.
Difficulty hearing all of the fine points that all of our fine listeners are making. But thank you. Thank you, Henry.
But
he's with you on the receivers.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. How many receivers do they have? Not how many people that can catch the ball. Right now, how many quality receivers does Brock Purdy have to throw to week in and week out these last couple weeks?
He has like 2.6 maybe.
And I'm not including Kittle. I'm not including
I'm not
CMC.
I mean, you're talking about wide receivers. So you got
to me,
Juwan
they got
Jennings,
one.
And you got, Ayuk.
That doesn't move the knee. Ayuk is the guy. But after that, it's a severe drop-off. And that's why I thought, you know, go out there and get a veteran wide receiver. I don't know who it is. But the way the Eagles got Julio Jones, and I know Julio's about 47 years old. I get that. But at least they got some depth at wide receiver.
Well, you know, first time you mentioned Julio Jones, like, okay. But you keep going back to that. Like you said, the guy's 70 years old.
But
has he caught any – how many passes has he caught this year?
It doesn't matter, though. But he's a veteran wide receiver that, in a pinch, can help you out. They don't have guys that can step up at the wide receiver position.
Maybe there's good news. Maybe that's a reflection of them knowing that Debo's going to be okay. I don't know. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. I'll make an assumption there.
They need him. Yeah. Like, you know, before all this happened, before I always thought CMC was the most important. Now we're seeing how important Trent Williams is. We already knew that. But now we're seeing how important Debo Samuel is to this offense.
When we come back, what happened to the 49ers? An opponent says they brought this on themselves. You can hear him say that when we come right back with the Drive Guys on. Yeah, lots of football to talk about today, but don't forget, coming up at 4:15, Kyle's new broadcast partner Mike Bibby's gonna join us. He's a brand new analyst on King's Telecast on NBC Sports California, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be great to have, and a guy that's connected obviously to the organization, to the great days of the organization, the winning years, and I'm excited to have him on board, you know, and I'll tell some Mike Bibby stories coming up in just a little bit, because I don't know Mike that well, but I'm starting to know him a little bit more. So.
Made one of the biggest shots in Sacramento Kings
history. Was that game
history.
Five? Was that, which game was that? Yes, game five, I do believe it was. Yeah, the mid-range jumper, he knocked it down, and so we'll ask him about that too, and get into some other things, the current state of the Kings as well.
I remember he and Webb were on, the Kings were so popular back then, they were on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, both of them.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think it was during that series.
Yeah.
Or right after that series. Yeah. The two. Can you imagine that?
Can you imagine Fox and Sabonis now? Yeah. And that's pretty cool. Right. That would be sweet.
That's how big they were. As far as the 49ers go, interesting comments here from some of the smartest listeners in radio. Get him in says Browns and Bengals both came off bye weeks. And Andrew says Bengals also needed that win more than the Niners did. Burrow came ready to play. Yeah. Well, that especially resonates given that after watching the game film, Kyle Shanahan said, we looked old and slow. So maybe the Bengals did just bring a lot more energy than the 49ers were able to on Sunday.
You know, and maybe that's the case. If so, come on, Niners. Like, you got the bye week, then you got, what, nine more games to go. And so is that going to be an issue? And I will say, and I'm looking at the chat and I'm seeing what people are saying, when you look at this Niners schedule, and maybe this is me being that East Coast bias, they win at Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett. Yeah. They beat the Rams. Stafford's a good quarterback. The Giants, Dan Jones. Arizona, Dobbs. Dak Prescott, Dallas. Eh. But now, Cleveland, their great defense. At Minnesota, Kirk Cousins picks you apart. Joe Burrow picks you apart. So maybe that 5-0 start, and I said it back then, wasn't a true test. You know, now they're being tested. You know, the Bengals are a good team. I know they were off to a slow start, but they're a good team. Minnesota, I don't know what happened. I'm not going to say Minnesota was a good team. I'm not even going to say Cleveland was a good team, even though we saw just what happened this past week. Their defense is always putting them in the game. And so I wonder, what's the real version of the Niners? Is it the team that was 5-0, the team that's 0-3, or somewhere in between?
You may be right. Where I might push back on what you said is with the Dallas win, because you know, they just destroyed them. But speaking of Dallas, we know that the 49ers were feeling themselves a little bit after that win. And Micah Parsons, remember he was offended that George Kittle wore the T-shirt Dallas. Micah Parsons on his podcast says what happened to the Niners is they were humbled because this game has a way of humbling you. Sorry. Do we have Micah Parsons here? Here's Micah Parsons.
It's always a rise and a fall in the NFL, right? At one point, you're always going to be on top of the mountain. Football has a funny way of keeping people humble, right? And I'm not saying this is an example for San Francisco. Everyone has to deal with these things in the NFL versus his injuries versus his adversity. I mean, I don't even think the Dallas Cowboys could survive three straight losses. It's not so much as it's Purdy because a lot of people are saying it's Purdy. And it's always easy to blame the quarterback because when they were winning, it was always Purdy's the greatest. I just think San Francisco had to turn it around. They're battling adversity. I definitely think the 49ers will bounce back. They're a great team. I don't think we should bury them for their three straight losses. I think the 49ers humbled us, and I just think life humbled them.
Huh. That's interesting. For a guy in the Cowboys say, I think they'll bounce back.
Like, I don't.
Everything you said about Purdy, by the way, is accurate. It's not Purdy's fault. He's great. Micah Parsons obviously knows what he's talking about. But that was a little confusing, but ultimately interesting to me.
No, it is interesting on a number of levels. First, let me dive into what he actually said. He's 100% right. The Niners will bounce back. They're hitting some adversity right now. But he also said Brock Purdy, you know, when he was winning, everybody was like, he's so great. Now they're losing. They're jumping off the bandwagon and saying, see, and it's somewhere in the middle. And like I said before, somewhere they're between 5-0 and 0-3. They're not as good as we thought they were at 5-0, and they're not as bad as we seem to think they are right now. And so I think there's plenty of time left for the Niners. And so give Michael Parsons. I agree 100% with what Michael Parsons said. You know, there's still a lot of we're not even really halfway through the season, you know, technically. I know we're 8 games in, you know, 9 games left to go. So there's plenty of time for this team to turn it around.
So do you think that they did get a little too high and celebrate too much over beating the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think, they got humbled a little bit. That's 100% for sure. You know, obviously the fan base was feeling good, excited, and everything like that. But George Kittle, you know, doing what he did, it's, you know, and it just rubbed me the wrong way, the way he celebrated that. And they got humbled. You know, Cleveland punched them in the mouth. And, you know, now they're still down on the mat. And so they have to figure out a way to reverse this. That game against Jacksonville is going to be a tough game. On the road, across the country, early start. That's going to be a tough game. But there's tons of football left to be played.
The thing that hurts looking back on the Dallas game and the way the team reacted is you would think a team like the 49ers that has come close but hasn't quite won it all yet would recognize that, hey, that's a big win, but we still have so much work left, that they would have been smart enough not to get carried away with a win over stinking Cowboys early in the season like that.
They're a veteran team. They got some veteran leadership on this team.
Smarter than that.
Right. They should be smarter than that. But, you know, to that point, the Cowboys came off a 38-3 drubbing of the Patriots. So they were feeling good about themselves. Like Michael Parsons said, they were humbled by the Niners. So the Niners get up for that game. Obviously, it's against a rival. The Cowboys are talking some trash that week. So the Niners get up for that game, and then they're fired up, and then they lay the wood down, lay the smack down. Then you face a Cleveland team with no Deshaun Watson, no Nick Chubb. And you go from this emotional high of kicking butt to now you got to go play in soggy, dreary Cleveland against the Browns team. And so they didn't get up for that game.
Classic trap game.
But the problem is momentum can be a positive or a negative. And now we're seeing a negative momentum. We saw the positive momentum. They were steamrolling teams for five games. Now they have to figure out how to turn around that negative momentum that they're having.
What's discouraging from the 49ers standpoint has to be this. Okay, as you say, you go into Cleveland, you had a couple guys get hurt, your kicker misses a couple kicks, the quarterback had, to that point, his worst game was a perfect storm. We lost that game. Imperfect storm, if you will. You lose that game. Wow, that happens. That stinks. But then you go to Minnesota. Well, it's a Monday night game. And again, you're shorthanded. McCaffrey played. But Purdy throws the two interceptions. Well, it's a road game. Get that out of your system. Then you come home to play the Bengals, and you got whooped.
You got whooped.
There's no, we didn't do this.
Right.
You just got flat out beaten by a better team.
And the Bengals moved the ball up and down the field. Like the Bengals offense was never really challenged. I think they had that one play, one punt in the third quarter. That was their first punt. The Bengals moved the ball up and down. And so what do you do? We talked about bringing in Chase Young. You can have all the talent in the world, but if the guys aren't producing. And so this bye week, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, this is a reset. I'm hard on these guys next week in practice. You know, this is no kid gloves, take it easy on them. Like, this is sort of Mike Brown in preseason, Mike Brown in training camp. What you've done in the past means nothing. It's winning time now. It's time to make that push towards the Super Bowl. And so there's time for this Niners team. But if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm hard on the guys next week.
I think the answer is simple, but it's not easy.
Mm.
It's not complicated. It's simple, but it's not easy. And it's simple in that we have to start running the ball effectively, and we got to get pressure on the quarterback. And those are two simple things that everyone knows you have to do in football. They're absolutely imperative for the 49ers to have success because everything's built on that. They haven't been able to do that. And then a lot of other things start going wrong. So they have to start being able to run the ball. If Trent Williams is back, maybe they can do that. Maybe you saw the stories that some of the players were wondering why they had some success. So the first play, they ran their bread and butter, the zone stretch, 8 yards. Then they ran it like maybe one more time. And even the players are going, why aren't we running more?
Because the
coach doesn't have faith that you can move the ball and you're behind. So those are the two things that they have to start doing. That's where it starts to turn around. So again, like I said, it's simple, but it's not easy.
It's not easy to do. Like, we all know the issues.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan, they all know what's wrong. We got to get pressure on the quarterback. We got to run the ball better. We got to stop the run. But how do you do that? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Like, is it scheme? Is it effort? I mean, we talk about pass rush. They've been gashed running the ball, too. Like, we've seen Cleveland run over them.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen Cincinnati this past week run over them as well. And so that's
Minnesota,
an issue.
Minnesota and Cleveland, excuse me, but to your point, they're not teams that are very good at running the ball.
Right, exactly. And so I don't know how they fix it, man. And Kyle Shanahan said The answers are in this building. Well, clearly not. If you go out there and get Chase Young, you need some help that you brought in.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good move. I mean, considering what they needed, he addresses a need. We'll see if it works. We'll see if it's enough, but it's a step in the right direction. Coming up next on this Halloween, you watched the Raiders last night, right? Which NFL team would be the best subject of a horror film? Drive Guys tackle that as we carry on here on Sacktown Sports. Happy, happy, happy Halloween. How scary was that Raider game last night? And what were the Lions wearing? Did you see the...
You didn't like the helmets or anything?
I kind of like the helmets. And remember I said yesterday, I think they're wearing some weird blue thing.
Yeah.
And then the all gray. I don't know. I like the helmets. I'd like a little more contrast in the uniforms. But, hey, who cares about that? The Raiders right now are terrible.
Did you see Davante Adams, too? He's going off on the side, slamming his helmet, and rightfully so. And, you know, when I watch Jimmy Garoppolo, and, you know, I've been a Jimmy G guy. I actually think he's a talented player.
I got to watch you and see.
No, I'm not.
If you mean that.
No, I like Jimmy G. I was out there in New England when he was there. He was supposed to be the next thing. I think what we're seeing from Jimmy Garoppolo, 10 of 21, 126 yards, one pick, 46.9 rating. He looks like a guy that's too cool for school. Like, he's got his money. He's getting paid. Like, he's just throwing it up. I mean, it's like, and there's no repercussions. I mean, obviously, he lost the job here in San Francisco, but then the Raiders, you know, pay him some money. But come on, you know, sign with us. And so he just looked like he's mailing it in right now. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't think winning is his top priority anymore.
Really?
Yeah. It just, some of them throws, like, it's
I know. When he was here, he played through some really tough injuries.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that you like in your quarterback. There were games when with a broken thumb, you know, he had basically the same thing Sabonis had, and he played through that.
Yeah.
Shoulder issues. So to me, he always, maybe sometimes when he shouldn't have, but if he could play, he did play. I think he was hurt so much with the 49ers. I mean, the knee and the surgery and the thumb and the shoulder. I think all those things took a toll. He was never the most gifted physical quarterback. Yeah. And I think some of those gifts were robbed of him, the ones he did have through injury. And right now, I think
he's just not the same. He's not what he was.
And mentally, I don't think he really knows what they're doing.
Mm.
And I don't know if their coach knows what they're doing either.
Yeah. And with the, you know, what was it? Fourth and something at your own 49. Midfield, and you go for it. And I'm sitting there thinking, is Josh McDaniels trying to get fired? Like, with some of the, seriously, I literally thought that. It's like your offense hasn't been doing anything. And I forget the down, it was fourth down, and I forget how far. I think it was fourth and one, and they lined up Jimmy in shotgun formation. And it's like, dude, hitting the ball off. You got Josh Jacobs right there. What are you doing? And so it's like he's trying to get fired, almost, it feels like. And they're a dumpster fire. That was a big game for them because they went into that game 3-4. You win that, you're 4-4. You're still relatively in the mix.
You're doing okay.
Right. If you're square, okay, we're still in this. Now it's like Davante Adams is chirping. He's upset. He's frustrated. Garoppolo looks terrible. Coaching staff.
I don't think the fan base is very happy either. I get that sense. How about you?
Why would they? Why would they be happy with, you know, and you know, have you been to a Raiders game down there?
I have not.
Have you been to that stadium?
I have not.
That stadium is not. I've been to that stadium. I haven't been to a Raiders game. It's a party. It's a scene down there. But you got a ton of other fans that come there as well. And so I don't know if the Raiders fan base is really built into Las Vegas yet, if you know what I mean.
If
you know what I mean. And so something got to change, man. I mean, people were calling for McDaniels to be fired at halftime last night. It was that bad.
I'm with you on Jimmy G. I've always been, for what it's worth, a Jimmy G guy as well. The thing that was just so maddening in San Francisco, in addition to the injuries, was that he would be playing really well. Then all of a sudden, one of those throws would come out of nowhere where you wondered, what in the world was he looking at there? And you'd get those every so often. And I think now, without the insulation of the 49ers system between Jimmy and those throws, you know, now it's like they happen more often.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he just figures, we don't know what we're doing. I'm going to have to take more chances. But it's a bad combination right now.
And I don't, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo to me right now is sort of the reverse of Brock Purdy. And this isn't a Brock Purdy discussion or a knock. But Brock Purdy is performing well with weapons. Jimmy has weapons on this Raiders team. Like, Devontae's a number one receiver. I actually like Jacoby Myers.
Josh Jacobs
is a hell of a running back. So it's not for a lack of weapons or anything like that. It's like if they had Josh Allen or something, like, they would be a contender. They would be a playoff contender. And I know they went out there and got Jimmy. And, you know, McDaniels from his New England days thought, you know, he's my guy. You know, we could recreate this and everything like that. But I don't think Jimmy's the answer there either.
I know some people have said, look, the way Jimmy's played, that proves that it's the system, that the system buoyed him last year. But to me, that I don't agree with that, because to me, he's just, there's been a huge
drop off. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's more than not being in Kyle Shanahan's system.
Right. And you know, to your point, maybe it's all the injuries. Maybe it's mentally and emotionally. Like, this dude's been beat up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was supposed to be the next thing in New England. Tom Brady says, you know what, I'm going to keep on playing. So then, you know, the Niners trade for him, off to a great start. Then Kyle Shanahan.
He won a Super Bowl.
I know. Then he gets hurt. Kyle Shanahan loses faith in him. He loses his spot. He, you know, and then he comes to the Raiders. And so I think that's why I said, this is not the same Jimmy G we saw, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when he came here to San Francisco. This is a battered, bruised, and beaten Jimmy G who almost
inside
seems like
out.
He's lost some fight.
Yeah,
like
inside
he, yeah, he's just not the same guy. And I don't know if he'll ever be able to get that back, because talent is not an issue. For Adams to get one catch, like, come on. Like, this is a top five wide receiver in the league, and he gets one reception yesterday. And so you can't blame it on talent. Maybe it's the coaching, but Jimmy G has regressed.
So if there was going to be a Halloween movie or a horror movie about a football team this year, are the Raiders the team? I threw this out on Twitter. The Bears got some run, of course. The Raiders, and some, you know, I think someone even mentioned the 49ers, and that's valid the way things are going right now. But, you know, I got to give the Jets credit, because their season started out like a horror film, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything was rosy, right, and the outlook was great. And then, what, three plays in or whatever it was, snap,
yeah,
there goes Aaron Rodgers. And they're hanging in there. They're not the most fun team to watch, but they're hanging in there. I got to give them credit.
No, you got to give them. They've won three in a row, and they're right back in the mix at 4-3. And, you know, Zach Wilson is doing just enough to get the wins. And, you know, from a horror standpoint, I could say Green Bay. Can we throw Green Bay in that mix?
Ooh,
like,
yeah,
they are just horrible to watch. They're 2-5. They've lost four games in a row. The Arizona Cardinals, they're a horror show, but we knew that going in. Like, we knew what we were paying for.
Yeah.
You know, we knew what we were getting with those guys.
It's like the fifth in a sequel. It's like, I already know what the
monster
looks like.
Right, it's like Saw 15
scared.
Or whatever, yeah, or whatever they're on right now. They're making a new one I saw, too, like a new Saw movie, which is crazy. But, no, it's a horror show. And Green Bay, who they just lose to at home? They just lost, I'm drawing a blank. Like, they never lose, used to lose at Lambeau. That used to be one of the best home field advantages. Oh, they lost at home to the Vikings, you know,
yeah,
and that's a rivalry game. And the Vikings used to never be able to go in there to Lambeau and get a win. And so I would put Green Bay up there when it comes to our horror show.
New England has been a bit of a horror show, and also because they're haunted by the ghost of Brady. Did you see the talk? And it's really just somebody saying, hey, maybe this could happen, that the Vikings could reach out to Tom Brady. I know.
No
Mike
way.
Well, really, I think it's literally just some writer going, you know, that would be something.
Right.
And then other people going, yeah, that would be cool. There's nothing to it. Tom Brady on his podcast
Zero
didn't even
chance.
Address it.
Zero.
So then some are saying, oh, he didn't say he wouldn't do it because his mom's from Minnesota. You know, people are, it's such a stretch. But I don't think that's happening now, especially now because the Vikings today acquired their quarterback of the future, Josh Dobbs.
You said that with a straight face.
I like
Josh Dobbs, but I don't think he's the quarterback of the future.
Quarterback of the present. Of the present, the
right, the rest of the season. The quarterback of right now, if you will. And so, I like that move. You know, it's funny. I follow some people who live in Minnesota, and they're like, oh, we love this move, man. This is a perfect move for N. I'm like, this isn't going, all of a sudden you're not going to be a playoff team because Josh Dobbs. If I'm Minnesota, I'm tanking. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm punting on this season. Jefferson, you know, he's still out.
I was going to say in that division, obviously Detroit's having a good year, but you're 4-4. I mean,
you might as well hang in there.
I'll tell you what, for sheer horror this year, don't sleep on the New York Football Giants.
Yes.
That's been a disaster. Yes.
That you're 100% right about that. Daniel Jones is out. The whole Saquon thing to start the season, they've only scored 95 points. Let me look at this. They're the worst offensive team in the league by far. And now Dan Jones is out. And who's their backup? Jacoby Brissett? Is it?
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor. And so, they're a horror show.
He got hurt and they got the guy. Oh, I apologize. Everyone's screaming his name right now. The guy that, his stats, did you see this? ESPN has the box score, and for his name, because they didn't know who this guy was, it said unknown player.
On the screen?
ESPN box score.
Tommy DeVito?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
DeVito.
Yeah.
Tommy DeVito.
Thank you, everybody. On the chat. But yeah, on the ESPN box score, it's like unknown player. And I don't think he completed a pass.
Wow. Yeah. They actually had that on the screen. Yes. That's embarrassing. Yes. That's embarrassing. No, so that's a horror show as well. They're a horror. Yes.
Yeah. What's the scariest movie you ever saw?
Dude, we talked about this.
Yeah, we did, huh?
Extro. X-T-R-O. I need to know anybody out there. I know my YouTube chatters.
That's right. They're chiming in.
Has anybody ever seen the movie Extro? I might watch it tonight. Halloween night. I might check it out tonight. Ran out of the theater. I was 10 years old. Something like that. It was too scary to finish.
Coming up next, let us know if you've seen Extro.
Extro, yes.
Yeah. The search for people who've seen Extra and survived it continues. Also, what stands out from the first week of the NBA season? And Mike Bibby's going to join us at 4:15. That and more coming up with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.